This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We thank you for tuning in today and invite you to join us on this station every Sunday for worship with us.
Jesus once said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." What did he mean? We'll talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank you for this great day, a day when we may enter into your churches, a day when we may turn on our radios or our television and listen to the Word of God proclaimed. Grant, O God, that we may understand that only when we are in a personal relationship with you, by grace through faith in Christ, are we at home. So grant that the Holy Spirit may be at work converting many this day and strengthening those of us who have walked with you. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Friends in Christ, today's text tells about another of those interesting people whose life story has been duplicated millions of times during the past 2,000 years. This person is often referred to as the rich young ruler, or in today's language, he was an achiever. One day he came running to Jesus and fell on his knees. Even though he had been very successful financially, he was not too proud to fall on his knees before the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. His question was this: "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" This man knew he had done well in providing security for himself while he was alive here. But he also knew that something was missing in his life. Knowing that he was an achiever, he wanted to provide for his eternal destiny. a good time here on this earth, and then the promise of a home in eternity with God when it was over. And Jesus, he said, what will it take? Jesus was also impressed with this young man. The Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him. I can just imagine those penetrating eyes of Jesus going right into the man. He saw in this man a great person who had the potential of joining his disciples and becoming a great witness for Christ. He could have seen him as another Paul, or at least as another Timothy. So Jesus answered the man's question by asking a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life, you ask? You know the commandments, don't you? And the man did. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he could go on. He must have been a pretty good man. He was a person without a doubt who came from a good home. He took his religion seriously. He said that all of these things he had learned when he was a little boy, good father, good mother. And so when he began to get very popular and the money began to flow in, everybody wanted him. They wanted to be his friend. What could they get from him? And there were any number of women who would have been happy to be a part of his life. But he knew, thou shalt not commit adultery. And so there was none of that free sex business, not for him. He knew that it was necessary to be honest. He didn't want to cut a quick deal in order that he could get a little bit more money. He had been cheated, but he wasn't going to cheat anybody else. None of that business dishonesty for him. He had competitors who sometimes took advantage of him, and he kind of let it go. But when he had to visit with others about that competitor who cheated him, he would only say good things about him. He was a man who had great respect for his father and mother, was concerned about them even when they got old, and would go and be with them and comfort them and provide for them in whatever way was necessary. This was a good moral man. And Jesus looked at him and he thought, boy, I would like to have him. He could really do something for the kingdom of God with that winsome personality. He had so much background and all the rest. But there was one thing that he lacked. And so looking into his eyes, I'm sure with a smile and with love, Jesus said to him, one thing you lack. You go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. And I'm sure that young man could have said, treasures in heaven, but that could be years away. What are my treasures here on this earth? Jesus didn't answer that question right then. And so when Jesus gave him that answer, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, the man went away, sad, because he had great wealth. And as he turned about face and went away from Christ, he shut himself out of the kingdom. The door wasn't locked, but he shut himself out. He believed his wealth could buy him anything that he wanted. Jesus told him, I'll not bribe you. I'll only challenge you. Salvation cannot be bought. It is a gift received by those whose lives are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the story of this man. Now, out of this story, there come some real basic facts. I believe this story of the rich young ruler made its way into Mark's gospel because God speaks to us through this man. Man's question: why can't I earn eternal life? And Jesus would have said, because you're a sinner, and you'll always be a sinner, and you can't do enough good to overcome those sins. That's not the way it works. The sin has got to be removed, and that can be removed only through Christ and his blood that was shed at the cross. Wealth makes us think of everything in terms of price and not in terms of values. Do we understand that, friend? Let me say it once more. Wealth makes us think of everything in terms of price and not in terms of values. So it didn't make sense. Sell your possessions? Give them to the poor? Wealth was his top priority, not Jesus. Wealth. Wealth had a high priority. Jesus had a high priority, but wealth was a top priority. Wealth has a way of binding us to this earth. Wealth has a way of making us its slave. Wealth makes it difficult to die. Wealth makes it hard to think of anything beyond this life. But wealth finally realizes, says it can't do everything. I listened very carefully to the funeral service of Senator Kennedy. He certainly, regardless of what one's political profession might be, he must have been an outstanding senator in some ways. He came from a very wealthy family. We all know that. They had their yachts, their big cars, their parties, their airplanes. And you can be sure that when the senator was diagnosed with a brain cancer, he got the very, very best of medical attention. And if he hadn't been able to get it in Massachusetts, but there were some place in the world that could have given him more years, he would have been on his way. Wealth is very, very fine, but it has its limits. And you cannot be a part of God's kingdom when wealth is your top priority. That place Jesus has reserved for himself. So here is this great man, this young man looks so good, even Jesus was impressed with him. And then he walks away. When it was all quiet and the evening had come upon them, it was Peter who said to Jesus, after experiencing all of this on that particular day, "Lord, we have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "Peter, no one who has left home, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a children, a fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. What is he saying? Peter, it is true. Your life is committed to me. I know you're a sinner. I know you are weak. I know you will fall. But I will always forgive you. I know that it was possible that some of your human family might have been angry when you left your fishing post there by Galilee and you went with us. What were you going to get out of it? And they may not have wanted to have too much to do with you. But Peter, look. Look what you have. When you confess me as your Savior and your Lord, you might have lost some friends. You might even have lost some relatives, some as close as a brother or a sister or a father or a mother. But look what I have given to you. I have given you a place in the family of God. Someday you will look around in this old world of yours, and there you will see countless number of people who trust me as their Savior and their Lord, and you will say, they are my brothers and my sisters. How true that is, friend. How true it is. You know, I was an only child, and I didn't like that very well. I had friends who had anywhere from two or three siblings to eight or nine. And I would gravitate to their house and I would see those children. And they were having fun with one another, and then I would go home to a good home. But no brothers and no sisters. But when I became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I found that I have many brothers and sisters. This story I have told before, but it's one that I have to keep on telling because it is so important to me. We were in East Germany before the wall came down. Specifically, we were in Wittenberg, the place where Luther nailed his 95 Theses. And one morning, I was there all by myself. I'd left the crowd. And I was having a little devotion, thanking God for raising up that church father who gave us back the gospel. And as I stood there, a lady stood by my side, and she said to me, "This is holy ground." That woman was named Esther. She was our communist guide as we went through that part of Germany, seeing that we did nothing wrong. She had been very stern, very hard to get next to. In fact, we hardly had a word with her. She went her own way. But then I said to her, "Esther, you call this holy ground. Are you a Christian?" I never thought that would happen. She was a guide for the communists. And she said, "By the grace of God, I am." And then she said to me, "And you are my brother." And I said to her, "And you, Esther, are my sister." That all happened. In spite of politics, in spite of distance, in spite of so many things that would have been different between Esther and me, we had a common Savior. And that Savior made us brother and sister. That is what Jesus is talking about in this text, that when we become committed to Christ, when we know him as that Redeemer and Lord, then we are a part of the church. And when we are a part of the church, we are a part of the family of God. Isn't that a marvelous thing? And then he says to Peter, "Look, Peter, I'm going to probably let you go without many of the riches that you could have had you stayed there and been the fisherman. But you are going to get riches. You have them right now, Peter, that you would never have had as a fisherman. Money could not buy them. You have peace. You have joy. You have vision. You have assurance. And it's going to be greater. And then one day, you're coming home to heaven. And there will be the riches that have been prepared and given for you there. He doesn't go any further than that. He doesn't tell us any more about what that heavenly home will be. But we will be well cared for there. I'd just like to throw out one question. And I know that this is dangerous, but isn't it all right to live dangerously when you have a text like this? I just wonder if that man ever had another chance. See, when he went off and left Jesus, he was healthy and well, had everything on his side as far as this world was concerned. He had enough money, probably didn't have to work anymore if he didn't want to. And in the meantime, Jesus had gone to Calvary and had died for the sins of the world. He had been raised again. And now he was ascending into heaven. But before he went to heaven, to sit at the right hand of the Father, what did he do? He sent his disciples out into all the world to tell the story. Now let's say that 15 or 20 years after this incident of the rich young man and Jesus. Just imagine, it's not in the Bible. It's just something that it could have happened that this man had been thinking. Now he had twice as much as far as wealth was concerned as he did the day he visited with Jesus. But he still wasn't happy. And now he was getting older. And he wondered, what's on the other side? Let's say that one of the disciples was in the area or a convert of one of the disciples. And he was preaching the gospel and a man came up and said, you know, one day I was with Jesus. And this is what happened. And I turned and walked away. Oh, I wished I had received him. Oh, I wish that I had left everything and followed him. My life would have been so much richer. But I didn't. And then that Christian man could have said, you can be my brother. Let Jesus Christ come into your life. It's not too late. That sin can be forgiven too. There is grace. He'll forgive you. And you'll live a rich life here until you breathe your last. And then he'll take you home to heaven where riches will abound. It could have happened. I don't say it did, but it could have. And I mention it to you because if some of you have turned your heads and said, I don't need this Jesus, I need my wealth now, and you give it second thoughts, he's there to say to you today, it's not too late. You achiever, I can use you in the kingdom. Amen. receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's sermon will strengthen your faith for the coming week. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is entirely dependent upon the generosity of our listeners in order to continue broadcasting. You can support Christian Crusaders by joining our GEM or Gift Every Month Club. GEM Club members make a regular monthly donation to our ministry to help us spread the gospel on 19 stations across the country as well as overseas. To find out more about joining our GEM Club, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Visit us online at christiancrusaders.org. You'll find a listing of stations where you can listen to our program, a daily devotion, information about our speakers and staff, an historical slideshow, and more. There are links to several new online tools, such as podcasts, YouTube videos, our Facebook profile, Twitter updates, and our blog. If you'd like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously every Sunday for 73 years.